Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now that our screen is working, would you read together with me the title of this morning's message?
Why Does God Love You?
Based, of course, on our gospel reading from John chapter 3, many of you know this most famous of all Bible passages. And if you would care, would you say it out loud with me? John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. I encourage you this morning to follow your sermon outline. You've got it printed before you on your handout as we consider the theme, Why Would God Love You? Years ago, shortly before his death, the world-famous Swiss theologian Karl Barth was giving a series of theological lectures all over North America, and this particular day, he was in Chicago, at the University of Chicago. After his speech came a time for questions, and a student raised his hand and asked a question that made all of his learned professors just shake their head. They wondered, how could this young kid ask this great professor such a dumb question? But here was the question. Dr. Barth, in all these 40 or 50 years of theological thinking and writing, what is the single greatest thought that ever passed through your mind? The lecture hall was silent. Dr. Barth took off his glasses and put his head down. Everyone waited in silence for his answer. Would this man be offended by such a question? He looked up and said quietly with a childlike simplicity, young man, the greatest thought that's ever gone through this sinful human's head is this. Jesus loves me. This I know. For the Bible tells me so. My friends, this is the truth of today's sermon, and hopefully the message you hear Sunday after Sunday from this pulpit. It's my prayer that you will leave today with a clear answer to this question, which also is the theme of our message. Why would God love you? Today's key sermon text is claimed by many to be their favorite passage in all of Scripture. Today's key sermon text is the single passage of Scripture that's most frequently translated into a different language when the Bible is being translated. For God so loved the world. Today's sermon, and notice your sermon outline, we'll look at God's love in four ways. God's love is great. God's love is infinite. God's love is giving, and God's love is unchangeable. First, God's love is great. Ephesians 2, 4 to 5 says this. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in sin. Oh, how we use the word great these days. That was a great meal. That was a great TV show. That was a great book. That was a great ball game. But such puny greatness pales in comparison to the greatness of God's love. It's beyond our feeble understanding of greatness. But when you look in the dictionary, in Webster's dictionary, here's the definition of great. Huge, immense, vast, magnificent, exceptional. In the early 1900s, there was a series of revival meetings held also in the city of Chicago. And the preacher was a young man just out of school named Henry Morehouse. He preached 7 sermons in 7 nights, each sermon 1 hour long, on the same passage of Scripture. And what passage did he use? John 3:16, "For God so loved the world." And when he was asked after a couple of nights, "Why do you keep preaching on the same text?" And Morehouse said, "Because God's love for sinners is so great." The second point of our message today is God's love is infinite. Ephesians 3:18 says this, "And I pray that you will be able to understand how wide, how deep, how long, how high is the love of Christ, and to know that his love surpasses all our knowledge." Webster's dictionary defines infinite in this way: infinite, boundless, endless, limitless, without measure. How can we human beings comprehend infinite? Infinite means something never ends. It goes on forever and ever. It never runs out. Let me bring you back to my children's message. You heard the question I used to ask my mama. She'd tell me when I got in trouble, I would come to her afterward and say, "Mama, do you love me this much?" Now, believe it or not, my mom says I asked her that question quite a bit. But then she would say, trying to look stern, "Stephen, I don't love you this much. I love you that much." As we look to our Lord Jesus on the rugged cross of Calvary, look at him, won't you? We clearly see that he didn't love a sinner like you or like me this much. He loved us this much. As his hands were nailed to that cross, his love for you is infinite. The Bible tells us that upon that cross, he removed our sins from us as far as the east is from the west. Let me ask you, how far is the east from the west? It's forever. God's love for you, sinner, is infinite. God's love is great. It's infinite. Look at your outline. Our third point is this: God's love is giving. John 3:16 has told us, "For God so loved the world." What did he do? He gave. 1 John chapter 4, 9 and 10 says it this way: "This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and gave his Son as the payment for our sins." How do you know God loves you? Let me ask you again. How do you know that God loves you? The only answer is because he gave. He gave his very best, and his very best ended up upon a cross for you and for me. When we study the phrase God's love in the New Testament, we will hardly ever find a verse that talks about God's love that does not also talk about the cross. Love, by definition, is giving. To love means to give. And in the case of God's love, giving unto death. I remember an old movie. It was made in black and white. That'll tell you how old it was. In this movie, there's one scene in which a little boy is told by a doctor that he could save his little sister's life if he would give her a blood transfusion because they shared the same blood type. The doctor says, "Johnny, will you give your blood to save your sister?" And he said, after taking a deep breath, "Yes, sir, I'll give my sister my blood." As the two children lie next to each other on hospital beds and the transfusion was just about finished, Johnny's voice now breaks the silence and he asks with childlike simplicity this question: "Doctor, tell me, please, when do I die?" It was only then that people learned that Johnny thought all along, by donating his blood to his sister, he would give up his own life. But he loved and he gave. If you ever doubt God's love for you, only look to one place, will you? Look no farther than the cross. For God so loved you that he gave his only son. And on that cross, Jesus, his son, gave his life for you and for me. What a gift. God's love is great. It's infinite. It's giving. And lastly, God's love is, what does your outline say? Unchangeable. Hebrews 13, verse 18 says this. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Listen carefully to this next sentence, won't you please? Nothing you have ever done and nothing you will ever do will ever change God's love for you. God will not suddenly one morning notice something displeasing about you and say, "Ooh, well, that changes everything. I can't love you any longer." No. But let's be realistic. This happens day after day in our human relationships. Between family members, between friends and neighbors, and sometimes even in the church. You do something thoughtlessly or stupidly, and someone can quickly turn on you. Someone offends you and you can get your feelings hurt. And in response, you hold your love and your respect. But not so with God's love. His love does not change. His love is not like our hot and cold affection, good one day and not the next. He is unchangeable. His love is unchangeable. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that's wonderful news. Because let me let you in on a little secret. Whether you realize it or not, even as you sit here this morning, there is a battle raging for your eternal soul. 1 Peter 5:8 says this, "The devil prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour." God's love for us does not change. But the sad truth is, people change. And people these days are turning their backs on God and staying away from the fellowship of His Christian church and setting aside the truth of God's Word. They are refusing God's love. And by doing so, they can lose the battle with the devil, that evil one who is seeking someone to devour. Story is told about a hunter who raises his rifle and takes his aim at a large bear. But just before he pulls the trigger, by the way, it's a pretend story. Just before he pulls the trigger, the bear speaks up and says, "Hey, hunter, isn't it better to negotiate than to shoot? What do you want? Let's negotiate." The hunter lowers his rifle and says, "Well, all I really want is a big, warm bear fur coat." And the bear said, "Oh, that's very negotiable. All I want is a full stomach." And shortly later in this comic strip, we see the bear walking out of the woods, picking his teeth with a toothpick. The negotiations have been successful. The bear has a full stomach. The hunter has a bear fur coat around him, but not in the way he had imagined. But now the serious point. So the devil whispers to you and whispers to me every day of our lives, "Don't take this Jesus stuff so seriously. Take the middle ground with Jesus. Let's negotiate. Oh, go to church once in a while if you have to, but don't get committed to this Jesus. Don't take him seriously. Listen to me," says the liar. Let's negotiate. But some things, my friends, are not negotiable, like your eternal soul. Are you this morning committed to your Lord Jesus Christ? Is your faith in Him a vital part of your Monday through Saturday life and not just an hour experience on a Sunday morning? Do you understand? More importantly, do you trust how great and infinite and giving and unchangeable His love is for you? Do you want to better trust and understand His love? Do you want His peace and strength and the certainty of heaven? If you want to talk about these matters, please come see me. It's one of the reasons I'm here as your pastor. Please leave the sermon with this clear message. God loves you. Yes, you. As our sermon text has told us, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Are you a whoever? God's love is for whoever's. Jesus, who died on the cross and rose from the grave, is here today for all of us, whoever's. Whoever would trust Him for forgiveness of sins and the gift of heaven. Why would God love you? Because that's His very nature. That's what He does. That's who He is. In the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, we see clearly God's great, infinite, giving, and unchangeable love. And don't leave here this morning without recognizing this. This love is for you. In the name of Jesus. Amen.